Today's Shin, the Daf Yomi, is the Gemara Nedarim Daf Mem Gimel. We're going to begin at the Mishnah, about 7-8 lines down from the top of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. We're learning today Le'ila Nishmas Jack Zimmelman, Yaakov Berev Moshe Ber. All the Shons we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. So we begin at the new Mishnah, Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, Amar Lo, if Reuven says to Shimon, Hashi Leini Parasucha, Reuven says to Shimon, please lend me your cow. Now, Amar Lo, Shimon responds to him and says, Ain't up to you, sorry. My cow isn't available right now. I'm using it. It's not available for you to go and borrow it. So, according to the way the Ran and the Mefarish understand it, Reuven is upset at this, and therefore he makes the following shvua. So, Omar, Reuven says to Shimon, Koneim, I'm making a neder that my field should be like a carbon to me. Omar, Koneim Sodi, Shani Chorish Bol Yolam. I will never plow my field again with your cow. I will not use your cow. In other words, the way the Mefarish understands this, you said your cow was being used, the Molach Tohaya Ose, V'nis'atzei V'ashol. Reuven was very upset about this. K'neged Hamashel, against the person that he wanted to borrow it from. V'yomer, and he said, Hoel, the Saravto Lashili, since you refused to go and lend it to me, we go to the next Mefarish, Konim Sadi Shani Choresh, Shalo Echrosh Sadi B'paroscha Olamitz, I will never plow my field with your cow. He makes a neder. Now he does in fact borrow that cow from Shimon. So we'll have to now see what the Mishnah tells us. And the Ran says a very similar idea, that he was upset that it wasn't being lent to him, and that's why he made the neder. Now the Mishnah continues and says, Im hoya darko lacharosh hu asur v'choladim mutar. If he himself personally would have been the one to go do this, as the Mefarish continues, Roanim hu prazi v'darko lacharosh, if he himself was the type of a person that would be the plower, and therefore when he's borrowing this cow, and he says, I will not plow the field with your cow. So he made that neder, so it's only for himself. Hu asur, yeah, that neder the place for him. However, the oso pari, he can't go v'choladim mutar, but he is allowed to have other people plow with that cow that he just borrowed. Because the Mefarish explains, Devadai ki nodar, when he made the neder, adai tidinav shei nodai, since he's the guy that normally plows his field, so he meant the neder for himself. Below, adaita the alma, but not for anybody else. V'chol odem utorim lachrosh lo sodeyu be'oso parah. And therefore, according to this understanding, anybody else would be allowed to take that cow, which Reuven borrowed from Shimon, which he originally said, I'm so upset with you for not lending it to me that I will never plow with that cow. That's only he himself. Hu asur v'chol odem utar, but other people are permitted to go and plow with that cow his field. However, in ein darko lachrosh, the Mishnah says, if he is not the type of guy that normally go plow, he's a big shot, and he has people plowing for him. And now he said, I'm not going to plow my field with that cow. He didn't mean for himself. He obviously meant for other people. So therefore, hu v'chol odem asur. In that situation, the Mishnah explains that everyone would be also, not only him, but everyone be also to use that cow to plow the field. Then the Mishnah has the next section. Now this section we've already had previously in the Masechta. And this section is, Hamudu Hanoa Mechaveiro, if Reuven asks Shimon to get Hanoa from him, and now Shimon is not only get Hanoa from Reuven, but Shimon is starving. And Reuven feels bad that Shimon is starving. So what does he do? Holech Edsel Hachanbani. So Reuven goes to, now some have the gears over here, as you can see in the Agos and Siyunim, in Os Beis, Harogil Etzlo. And that's in fact the gears. If you look in the Ran, that's the gears that the Ran has. Holech Edsel Hachanbani, Harogil Etzlo. But the Ran points out in that Dibro Maschul, Ribuso Kamashle. This is even a bigger Chiddush to say, even with his regular Chanbani, because the Afogab the Rogel Etzlo, or Mekifo Tadir, even though Reuven regularly goes to this storekeeper, and therefore the guy always gives him stuff on credit and knows him very well, we don't say when the storekeeper is going to give Shimon food, we don't say Lo Amrinan Shlichuse Kovid, that he's doing this at the bidding of Reuven. So now let's get back to the Mishnah and see what the case is. So in this situation again, Reuven asks Shimon to get Hanoah from him, and Shimon is starving. He has nothing to eat. So Reuven goes to his regular storekeeper, and certainly if he went to any storekeeper, and he says, Omer, Ish Ploni. Now the Gersa that we have is no there, but that's the wrong Gersa. So that goes to Tziunim. He says, Nodar, he made the nether. So according to this version, it was Shimon that made the nether. He's not going to get Hanoah from Reuven. Or he is Nodur, and it means that he is not allowed to get an offer from Reuven because Reuven made the nether. Or the Bach has the girus over here, and the Bach's girus is ish ploni mudor mimeni, with a mem, that he is not allowed to get an off from me because I made an edda and he's also to get an off from me. In any event, all of these different girusos all say the same thing. Shimon isn't allowed to get an off from me. But poor Shimon is starving, Reuven says. And he goes to his chenvani, or to any chenvani, and he says, "V'eni yodea mo'ese, I don't know what to do. The guy is not allowed to get an offer from me, and he's starving." Implying that he'll make it good if somebody else goes and feeds him. But as the Ran points out, in this situation, it's not a chiv, it's not an obligation. And as we'll see inside of the Ran in a moment, if he then thinks out and says, "Sorry, I didn't mean that I would pay for it." In fact, they can't take him to a din Torah. But it's implied over here that Reuven will pick up the tab. And that's why some suggest this is achenvani haragletzlo, because the guy knows that he's an honest guy and he'll pick up the tab because he's lent the money all the time. He's given him on credit, and therefore he knows he's going to get paid. However, in this situation, it's not an obligation. That's what everybody on the daf says. All the mafarshim on the daf say it's not an obligation. The who knows hilo. And now the chenvani goes and gives Shimon food. And then the chenveni comes, ubo b'no tel mizeh, he's allowed to come to Reuven and ask for payment. And again, if Reuven's a nice guy, he will go and pay it. But technically, he won't have to go and pay it. As the Ran says, diba maskul, ubo b'no tel mizeh, imrotso komar, if Reuven now wishes to pay back the chenveni, he's allowed to. V'lomar, this comes to teach us, the afal gav de l'besof no tel mizeh, v'datay b'hochi, even though this was clear that Reuven was telling the chenveni, "Help out Shimon, and you know I'll take care of it," even though he didn't say so. Nevertheless, even in this situation, when it's a chenveni haragel, it's low, lav shluchus ka'avid. He's not actively doing, actually, Reuven's bidding, and therefore, it's as if two separate transactions are going on over here. That Shimon is getting money from the chenveni, and by the way, Reuven is going to pay the chenveni, but they're two unrelated transactions. The lo havi shliach, he's not actually a shliach of Reuven, the chenveni gives Shimon the money. Unless, Elab Omer, Kol HaShemea Kolo Yizon, then that would be a shlichus. Avol, also, Lek LeMeimar, the Chiktoni, Ubo V'Not Bizeh, Midina Komar. Don't think, however, that the chenveni could take Reuven to a Din Torah and win. The Chimachayim L'Shalume, they ask to go and pay him. No. Because if he would win in a Din Torah, then he's actually doing the bidding of Reuven, and then that wouldn't be allowed. And therefore, as the Ran says, and also the other Mefarshim of the Daf say over here, that he wouldn't be mechuyev to pay. It's just a very nice thing that he's allowed to pay, but he's not mechuyev to go and pay. Okay, next section of this Mishnah is a similar din, which the Ran and the Rosh say is a lozu avzu kitani. And you can see this in the Ran, in Beferish, where he says this, in Dibro Maskel, Hoya Basil of Nos, where the Ran says, Lo zu avzu ketani, and the chiddush is berei shash minim delitzorach mezono shari. That in the first situation, that was a guy who was starving. So you'd say, okay, maybe there it's allowed. And the chiddush now is in the seifa over here in the beso case, which we'll learn in a second. Da afil litzorach binyan beso with you, even for his house, which isn't a pure ochel nefesh type of a need. Nevertheless, he's allowed to go and do this. And this similarly, what Tosa says and the Rush say, they all say the same idea. Now, what's the case? Hoya Basil Libnos, Shimon had a house to build. Or Gidero Ligdor, he had a fence to go and fix up. Or the third scenario is Sodeo Lixor, he had a field that needed to be harvested. But unfortunately, Shimon is on bad times and he has no money to build his house, he has no money to fix the fence, he has no money to go and harvest his field. So Holech Itzala Poalim, Reuven, who is a nice guy. We don't know why exactly it happened that Shimon was also to get an offer from him, but in any event, Reuven wants to help out Shimon. So he goes to these workers that would either build a house or fix the fence or harvest the field. But Omer, and he says, Ish ploni mudu mimeni hano. Shimon is not allowed to get an offer from me. But I can't help him. I don't know what to do. Again, implication here, but not a din. They're not acting on his shlichus, as we just pointed out. But he's strongly suggesting that I can't do anything to help him, but if you guys help him, don't worry, you won't lose. He doesn't say that, but that's essentially what he's implying. And then, those workers go and build his house, or they fix his fence, or they go and harvest his field. And then, they come to Reuven, and again, they wouldn't win in a Din Torah, because technically, they didn't do his shlichus, because if they did, then this wouldn't be allowed, because then he's directly being Mahane Shimon, which is not allowed. But here, he's an honest person, he meant what he said, I can't help him, implying, I hope somebody else does it, I'll take care of it. And then when they come to him to get paid, he's allowed to pay them, and it's not a problem that Shimon's getting Hanoah from him. The final section of the Mishnah is the following case. Again, we had this previously as well. Reuven and Shimon are going on the road. They're traveling together. The Ein Lomal Yochal, and Reuven has food, but Shimon doesn't. And Shimon's not allowed to get Hanoah from him, and there's no other place to get food. Poor Shimon's going to starve. So what can he do? Reuven is allowed to no sin li echod l'shum matona. He can go give it to, there's a Levi over there, and he gives food to Levi, and Levi then is allowed to go and give it to Shimon. And it's not considered that Levi is doing the shlichus of Reuven, and therefore Shimon is not directly benefiting from Reuven, and it's allowed. V'halo muturba, and Shimon in this situation can go and eat it. No, what happens if there's no Levi over there? In any mom acher, there is absolutely nobody else there. And Shimon's going to starve. Lav Davka, he's going to starve because even for a pikuach nefashos, he'd be allowed to break a nether. So we're not talking about he's going to starve, but it's going to be uncomfortable for him. So in Ein Imoim Acher, if there's nobody else there, and Reuven wants to help Shimon out, so in this situation, nobody does. Meniach ala sela, ala goder. He puts the food down on a rock or on a fence, and in this situation, he's mafkirit. The Omer, and he actually says, Harei hein mufkarim l'chomish yachbots. These items of food that I placed over here on this rock or in this fence, they are hefker, and anybody can come and take them. So therefore, they no longer belong to Reuven. And then Shimon takes it, v'alo no tavi ochel. Shimon's allowed to take it and eat it, and it's not getting hanoah from Reuven because he's getting hanoah from hefker. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama over here in the Mishnah. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi oser. Rav Yossi says, hey, in this case, and the Mefarshim explained only in this case, in all the other cases, he says you can. But in this case, it's too close to being as if he's getting direct benefit from Reuven, and therefore it's not allowed. Again, if it was true, Pikuach Nefashos would be allowed because only the three cardinal sins stand in the way of Pikuach Nefashos. But here we're not talking about Pikuach Nefashos, but if it's not a case of Pikuach Nefashos, Rav Yossi says you can't get Hanoah from him. This is too much as if Shimon is getting direct Hanoah from Reuven. And the Gemara will explain why, as it does right now as we start the Gemara. I'm Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, my time with Rav Yossi. Why doesn't Rav Yossi allow this? In the previous cases, Rav Yossi didn't argue. Mistama, and the Mefarshim explained this on the daf over here, yes, he does allow it in the previous cases. So why in this last case does Rav Yossi not allow it? My time with Rav Yossi in this last case only, where he says it's usur for Reuven to put it on the rock or on the fence and make it hefker. In that case, he says, no, you can't do it. That's too close to Reuven giving Hanoah directly to Shimon. Well, why not? So, obviously, Kisover, Hefker, Kimatana. The reasoning, the Gemara says, I'm Rav Yochanan, my time to Rav Yossi, is because Kisover, Hefker, Kimatana. He says that making something Hefker is no different than giving somebody a Matana. And what is that? Ma Matana, a Matana. When Reuven gives Shimon a Matana, in a different case, ad diasya mirushus nosi mirushus makabel, until it goes from Reuven's possession into Shimon's possession, Reuven can retract. It's his right to retract this Matana at any point in time until Shimon actually takes possession of it. So ma Matana, by a Matana, it only becomes Shimon's, the recipients of the Matana, ad diasya mirushus nosi mirushus makabel, until it goes from the hands of the Nosin Reuven into the possession of the Makabel Shimon. So to over here, af mehefker, af hefker, ad the osil rishus zocha. Until it actually goes into the rishus of the zocha, the one who was mafkerit still is considered the owner of it, even though he was mafkerit. But until somebody else picks it up, it still is considered as belonging to Reuven. That's what Rav Yossi says, according to Rav Yochanan. And therefore, Rav Yossi is also in this situation because it says if Shimon got it directly from the possession of Reuven. Now, that's what Rav Yochanan explained. Rav Yossi is holding. Masa Rav Yabba. Rav Yabba questions this and he says, wait a second. And he quotes now a Braisa, and the Ran says that this is a continuation of the Braisa that we're quoting over here. The Braisa is essentially the Mishnah. And our Mishnah stops and just says Rav Yossi Oser, but the Braisa continues and goes on. And it says, Va'lo no tovi ochel, that's the Tanakaba. And the Braisa continues, as our Mishnah had said, Rav Yossi's Oser. Now, that's the Braisa, and it now adds on more. So it repeats what the Mishnah said. The Tanakama holds that you're allowed to do this. Reuven can put it on the rock, put the food on the rock, be mafkirit, and Shimon can take it. And Rav Yossi says, no, that is not allowed. Now, Rabbi Abba says the Braisa continues and says, Om Rav Yossi, Rav Yossi says, under what circumstances do I aser it? A Masai, the Braisa says, under what circumstances does Rav Yossi aser it? Only Bisman Shinidro Kodim Hefkero. When do I say that you can't do this is when the Neder, Reuven, asered Shimon to get Hanoah from him took place before he was mafkir the food on the rock. In that situation, we have to be concerned. Avol im hayo hefkero kodem lenidro. But the Braisa says that originally Reuven was mafkir his food and put it on the rock. And only subsequently did he get into a fight with Shimon, and he says, Shimon, you also get an offer me. In that situation, Harbeza Mutter. Even Rav Yossi says that it's Mutter in that situation. But wait a second, the Gemara says. This is Rabbi Abba's question. The E Amris, if you're telling me that the din is, like Rav Yochanan said, that Rav Yossi holds, that it's ad the osi lushuz zoche, it's considered like a present, and therefore he can retract it, so then what difference does it make? Mali nidro kodem lefkero, mali hefkero kodem nidro. In both situations, it should be osir. What difference does it make whether Reuven got into the fight with Shimon and asked Shimon to get an offer from him either before or after he made the item hefker? If the din is, it still belongs to Reuven until Shimon actually picks it up. So then in both situations, whether it was before the nether was made before he put it down, or the nether was made after he put it down, it should make no difference. In both situations, if Rav Yochanan is right, it should be usher. But clearly the Braisa, as Rabbi Abba teaches us, clearly the Braisa says that there's a difference between whether he made the nether after the hefker, so then in that situation, it's permissible. But if he made the nether before the hefker, then it's not permissible. So clearly Rabbi Abba says that Rav Yochanan's understanding can't be correct. So the Gemara answers that Rabbi Abba himself gives the answer. Who most of all, he was the one that asked the question, but then he realized that he was wrong. How does he answer it? Because he says, "Kol hanoder, when Reuven makes the neder, in daito amashi hikfkir." When he makes the neder, it's different than a normal case. When he makes the neder, he only has in mind what he actually has right now. He doesn't think about, well, I was mafkir something a day ago or an hour ago, and that's included in my neder. No, when he makes the neder, Shimon, you're also to get an offer me. He's saying, whatever I have right now. He doesn't have in mind things that he had beforehand, as the Mefarish explains very clearly over here. In the top Mefarish, the Mestoma, Kimadir Inish. When a person makes a neder, it's Alma de Isle Birishuse at that moment, who the Adre. And therefore, when Reuven makes the neder after he already had put the food out and made it hefker, so that wasn't in his mind. V'lo amasha kvar hefker, and therefore va'ad d'hochi mutter, and therefore in this situation it's mutter, and therefore we don't negate what Rav Yochanan had said, because Rav Yochanan was talking about that in general, until the person picks it up, so you're right, it still belongs to Reuven. But not if Reuven was mafkered previous to the nether. Because in that situation, when he made the nether, he only has in mind what he owns literally right now, and not what technically might be his in some view, from a halachic point of view, on stuff that he had been mafkered beforehand. Because technically, the stuff that he was mafkered doesn't belong to him. It just was saying that until it goes into the hands of the other person, it's considered like it belongs to Reuven. But that's not going to be the case when he makes the nether after he had been mafkered. So therefore, Rabbi Abba's answer explains why Rav Yochanan said what he did. However, Masiv Rava questions this, and Rava says, wait a second. Miktsasin l'rishon v'kulin l'sheni. Now, there's two ways to understand this. The Ran has a different gears over here. The Ran has Hochi Garcinon, in the Dibur Asl Hosei Garcinon. He says, Masiv Rava. Rava asks the question in the following case. Miktsasin l'rishon v'kulin l'sheni. Sheni zocha l'hishtabed borishon. So let's learn the Ran first, and then we'll learn the way the Rush and the Mefarish understand this. So, the Ran says over here, this is a Braisa, Ubraisi, B'Tosefta, the Bava Basra. This is a Tosefta, the Bava Basra, Avachi Pirusha. This is the case. Mi Shiesh Lo Shnei Avodim. A person has two slaves, two Avodim Kinanim, that he owns. V'Nosan Mixas Nechosim L'Rishon. And he gives a portion, part, of his Nechosim to the first Eved, which would imply that he's also freeing him, because Mash Kon Eved, Kon Arabo. So, it's implying that he also gave him his freedom. The Achar Kach Nosan Lasheni, and afterwards he goes and gives the Hagos Vitziunim in Ozvav as Nosan Kulo Lasheni. He gives everything to the second Eved. So therefore, in this situation, the Ran says Lo Kono Rishon. The first Eved didn't acquire anything because he was only given part of the Nechosim of the owner. And maybe the Ran says the Dilba Begufe Shia. Maybe part of what he didn't give him was himself. So therefore, the Eved technically still belongs to the Baal. And when he gives everything to the second Eved, that includes the share of the first Eved. And as I said, Masha Kona Eved, Kona Rabbo, so technically, the second Eved now owns everything. So since technically the first Eved wasn't acquiring himself, because he was only given part of what the Baal owned, and maybe the part of him that was still owned by the Baal was not given to him, so nechasim nami lo kona, therefore he's not kona the nechasim, and therefore the avdo de kona nechasihu. So therefore, the second Eved got everything, including the first Eved. But the sheni, avol sheni, zocha biyatzma over nechasim. The second one did get everything because he was kona himself, and therefore he's kona all the nechasim, which include the first Eved. And therefore he also acquires the first Eved, the Ran says, because there's nothing left over. Now, here's the question. This is what Mosif Rav is asking. If you're telling me that the person, when he's, you, Rab Abba, had said, the answer to the question, who Mosif Rav, who Mashani Lo, was because, when somebody makes a ned, he doesn't have in mind what he had already been mafkir. So then in this situation, so then he shouldn't have in mind that which he gave over to the first Eved. And yet you clearly see over here that he had that in mind, kasha on Rababa's teretz. That's the way Ron learns this. The way the Rush learns this is as follows. The Rush has a different girsa over here. He has the girsa miktsasun l'rishon, v'kulon l'sheni, rishon kona, sheni lo kona. How is that? In this Dibra Maskel on the Rush? So he says this is a matna shchiv mirah. Shchiv mirah mechalik nechosov. If you have a person on his deathbed, so we have a famous rule that the person is going to be upset if he has to wait till they make a kinyan. He's going to be upset that he's going to die any moment, and what his wishes are for his property aren't going to go through. So we have a rule: divrei shchiv meira kiksuvim umisurin dami. That when a person on his deathbed wants to make a kinyan, he doesn't have to literally make a kinyan. He can just say, "Please give my property so and so. Should get this and this property." So that is considered kiksuvim, as it was written down umisurin and handed over as if there was a full kinyan made. Now that's the benefit, so to say, of making a kinyan shiv meirah, in that it's considered kisuv mesurim dami. But there's another thing in regards that if the person gets up from his deathbed, so then it all retracts, because obviously he was only giving it away because he thought he was dying. But that then only applies if he gives away everything. Now, with that background, we can understand the Rush. The Rush says this is matna shchiv meirah. Shchiv meirah hamechalik nechosim. You have a person on his deathbed, or he thinks he's on his deathbed, and he gives away his nechosim. So, if he gives away all of his nechassim, then if he dies, it's considered a valid gift. But if he lives, then it's considered, hey, he knew he was giving away all of his nechassim. If he knew he was going to live, he didn't want to give any of them away. The nosei miktsasim l'risham mikinyan. So he gives to the first person with a kinyan, the achakach omar, and then he says, the kulon l'sheni, and all the rest, or all of it, goes to the sheni. So is this a retraction of the first gift? Or is it not a retraction of the first gift and just giving everything else away to the second one? So the din is, the Braisa says, Rishon Kana, the first person acquires it. V'im Amad, Eino Choser. And even if the person on his deathbed actually doesn't die and gets up, the first person still is Kana it, because the Matnas Chivnira B'miktsas Harihi K'matnas Bari. Because if you don't give away everything, so then you're not a Matnas Chivnira. Then this is a real present. And he gave Reuven a real present, because if it was a matnas chivnira, he wouldn't have left anything for himself. So therefore, this is a matnas bari for all practical purposes. And that's why the Rishon is kona. Unless, in lo tziva, machmas mitzah, unless he's bedafka said, I'm only doing this because I'm on my deathbed. So then, even if he gives away part of it, then it's considered a matnas chivnira, and if he lives, he gets it back. Now, Sheni lo kona, the second person doesn't get anything, because the havi matnas chivnira, that's certainly a matnas chivnira, Bekula, because he said all of it, kulan, should go to the second person, and therefore the imam al-chaza, everybody agrees that if the shlimira doesn't die, he gets up from his deathbed, and he lives, Baruch Hashem, so then the second person gives everything back. Now, umi de kano rishon, here's the question according to Rava, as understood by the Rush. Umi de kano rishon, from the fact that the first person is acquiring it, alma, we hold, chashvinu le kenimlach. We see that when he gives it to the second person, he meant to retract the first person's gift. The meikara, when he first gave it to the first person, kishinos and l'rishon, lo hoya daito litin l'sheni. He hadn't in mind to give anything to the second person, but then he changed his mind. Because the ichashvino le kimchalek shemi karo yobidaito litel shnei. Because if his intention was, I'm going to give it to both of them, first I'll give some to Reuven, and then I'll give some to Shimon, give it to the first guy, and then to the second guy, then afrishon naminal kana. Then it wouldn't be the first person acquiring it as well, because he gave everything away. He doesn't have to give everything away to one person. As long as he's giving everything away, then none of them get it if he's omad, if he baruch Hashem survives his illness. And he gave away all his property to other people. So then, Rowan, we look. If he's like a person giving away all his property on his deathbed, so kanu kulam, then all of them are kona. However, Ahmad, if he does get up, Baruch Hashem, and survives, chozer b'kulam, then all of them, not only the last one, but all of them. Because in this situation, he was a matnash chimera. Now, the Rosh says, im kinim lach meis kanu kulam. If it's like a nimlach, then the Rishon and the Sheni would get it. Ahmad, then Eino Chozer Ela Biachrot. But then, here we said that he gets up from his deathbed, Eino Chozer Ela Biachrot. And the Achron has to give him back. Now, why? Umi Dechashvina Le Kinimlach. It's because it's as if he changed his mind. If he changed his mind, then the first person got nothing as a Shchiv Meira. He only got it as a regular Bari. And therefore, Imkein Kulin L'Sheni, it's as if he now retracted that present, because a present doesn't go into the person's hands until it actually goes into his hands, as we said previously. And therefore, in this situation, it's as if he retracted the first person's present and he gives everything to the second person. Now, here's the kasha. If, in fact, Rabbi Abba was correct, that a person, kolanoder, ain daito almas shehivkir, so then once he gave it to the first person, that was out of his mind. And therefore, if he says, Kulan Lasheni, he's only talking about Mashashir and not what he gave him originally. So therefore, this goes against what Rabbi Abba said. So Gemara says, Ella Amar Rava. Rava says, Rabbi Yochanan was wrong. And here is the reasoning for Rav Yossi. Ella Amar Rava, Hainu time of the Rav Yossi. This is the reasoning behind Rav Yossi saying in our Mishnah, it's forbidden for Ruvain to put the food on a rock and be mafkirit, because that's giving direct Hanoah to Shimon. Why is that? Because this is analogous to a case we'll have later on in the Gemara, which we've also mentioned previously in the Masechet already. This is a Mishnah on Mem Ches Amud Aleph, in the next Perek, where it says, Gezeira Mishum Matnas Beis Chorin. This is too much like the Matnas Beis Chorin. What was the Matnas Beis Chorin? So the Ryan tells us over here, Diva Masel El Amar Rava, he says, Umidina Vadai Afilu Rav Yossi Shari. Technically, the din is, in our Mishnah, that Rav Yossi, if the person is mafkirit, it's no longer belonging to him, and Shimon would be allowed to pick it up. Because the michi afkere nafkale mi rishuse. Not like Rav Yochanan said, it's still in rishuse until, like a matana, until the makabel gets it. No, I disagree with that. Rav Yossi actually holds that when you're mafkirit, boom, it's gone from you. However, Ella, the kivan de'anan sahade, it's as if we are witnesses over here that he wasn't really mafkirit. The low afkere. Reuven wasn't really mafkirit. He wanted to give it to Shimon. And the only way he could legally do so was to, quote, be mafkirit. But he wasn't really mafkirit. Elo kedeshi yizaka mudar. He only made it hefker so Shimon could take it. If somebody else was there and had grabbed it before Shimon, he wouldn't have been happy about that. He wasn't mafkirit to anybody else. He really was only mafkirit to Shimon. And therefore, Ishorinole, Rav Yossi says, if we had allowed this shenanigan to go on, oh, I'm being mafkirit, and Shimon then grabs it, Osile Mishrei, Afilu Hechel Yoma Beferish, then we might come to mistakenly say, because it's so obvious that he was really giving it to Shimon, that we might outright let him give it to Shimon. And this is like Ulchemaisei the Beis Choren. And this is like the Mishnah on Memchest with the Maisei Beis Choren. What was that? The Tam de Pirkin Lekaman, in the next Perik, it says over there that there was a grandfather, his son, and the grandson. And the grandson's getting married, mazel tov. However, unfortunately, the son and his father are in a fight. And the son asked his father to get an offer from him. Don't ask why, but that's what happened. So you have Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So in this scenario, Yitzhak asked his father, Avram, to get an offer from him. And now he's making a wedding for Yaakov. And he regrets that he doesn't allow Avram to go and eat at the Suda. So what does he do? Yitzhak goes to this other person and he says, I want you to own the wedding. So he goes to Levi, and Levi is given the entire wedding. All the food at the wedding now is given from Yitzhak over to Levi. And he tells Levi, invite my father. So what does Levi do? So Levi doesn't like this. He says, I'm not playing a role over here. He says, if you're really giving to me, I'm makdish it. I'm giving it all to Tzedakah. And Yitzchak says, that's not why I gave it to you. I gave it to you so you'll let my father come to the meal. So obviously, this wasn't the real giving it over to Levi. And therefore, in that situation, he says, I'm only giving it to you so you can have my father come and eat, so Avram can come and eat. And that's why we only say over here that if the neder, Reuven, Asur, and Shimon in our Mishnah was before Kodem Lefkero, then it's also because in that situation, he clearly wasn't really mavkrid. He only did that as a trick to allow Shimon to eat it. Because the Ikel Migzar, then we have to make a gzera. No, we don't allow the hefker to take effect. Aval Lefkero called him Lenidro. But if the situation is that he actually made a hefker first, so then there is no shenanigan over here. It's as if in the case of the wedding that Yitzhak said, here, Levi, you run the wedding. Here's $100,000. You put together the whole wedding and invite who you want. And then Yitzhak asks his father to get hanor from him. And then he tells him, listen, you can invite my father because there's no problem. I didn't give you the money only to let my father. I gave you the whole money for the wedding. In that situation, shari. So therefore, the concern over here that Rava says is that if we don't have the food being mafkir first, it's too much like the case of Beis Choron, and therefore the rabbi said this is no good. And that's the understanding of Rav Yossi. Okay, it's early still. Let's go a little bit weiter. Tanya, we learn in the following brisa. Now, this brisa is also a tosefta in Maestros. And it says, Hamafkir es sodeu. If a person goes and makes his sodeh hefkir. Now, why would somebody do this? So, in the Mepharshim, they bring down over here that this was a shenanigan also. The person would not want to take off 10% to give Maeser. Truma can be potter with even a little bit, so people were more quick to give Truma because they could do it technically with a little bit, be very, very stingy, and they could be potter it in that way. But Maeser is 10%. I'm not giving, I have 100,000 bushels over here. I'm not giving 10%. I'm not giving 10,000 bushels to some levy. And therefore, people would say, my field is hefker, and therefore hefker is potter min Maeser. And then a minute later, they would go back and take it from hefker. So in this situation, we learned in the Tosefta, Hamafkir is today, if someone makes his field hefker, kol shlosh yomim, the first 3 days after he made it hefker, yochol lachzer bo, he can go and retract. And this is true even if someone else came to that field and acquired it. In the first 3 days, it's not considered hefker. Now, the Ran over here, Dibur Masal Tani, says, Ra'isi Shmua Zu Shlo Nistavra Yofta B'Divrei Rishonim. Says, this is a very difficult sugya. I've seen other Rishonim explain it. I'm not happy with their way of explaining it. And therefore, Lefi Anias Dati says, Kach Nir Libi Pirusha. This is the way you have to explain it. Kol Shlosha Yomim. The first 3 days after Ruve made his field hefker, Yochol Achzer Bo, he's allowed to retract his hefker. Mikan Va'elech, but beyond that 72 hours, and Yochol Achzer Bo, he can't retract it. Now, maflig b'seifa. Now we're going to have the next part of this price of the seifa, which we haven't read yet, but it's going to say the omar dehei sodeh zumuf keres leomech b'chule. It's going to say if he did it for a set period of time, that the field is hefker for a day, a week, a month, etc. Then we said it depends. Bein zochel lo zochel. It depends if somebody acquired it or somebody didn't acquire it. Diktoni sha'ad shelo zochel yochel lachzibo. There it says that he could acquire it until the person acquired it. Until another person acquired it, he could return it back to his possession. Umisha zacha, but if somebody acquired it, ain't yochel achzibo, then he can't retract it. So from the fact that they'll have that argument in the Sefer, which we haven't read yet, but I just read it inside the Ran, so that implies the Ran says, uberesha lo maflig b'hochi, that nobody disagrees in the Resha. Elatole chazora b'kodim gimul li'achar gimul. The din is, within the first 3 days, even if somebody else acquired this field that Reuven had made hefker, Reuven can take it back, even though the other person took possession of it. And after 3 days, he can take it back if somebody took possession of it. But if nobody took possession of it, he can still take it back then. Shmami nohochik tani. Kol gilmu yomim yochol achzibam yefkeiro. Vafilu zocher acher. Kodem chazaroso. And even if somebody else in that first 72 hours, the first 3 days, had acquired the field, lo kana, he doesn't acquire it. Now why? We're going to explain in the Gemara that the reason why people were mafkir and then retracting, as I pointed out, because they didn't want to pay the 10%. And they were cheats. and mafkirin sedosein, they were going to be mafkir the fields, kidei li potter, in order to exempt themselves from having to take off trumas and maisers. But in their minds, when they were mafkirin, shiachshubed, I'll take it back, and now, boom, no more trumas and maisers. V'yeskubed, and then they'll acquire it, and as it turns out, this wasn't a real hefker. Ulefikach, the rabbi said, Hutzuchu lomar, the rabbi said, Shem yisku behem lo yu kizochim in a hefker, for the first 72 hours, because they're likely that them going 72 hours without taking it back, they were too concerned, so they definitely would take it back. So in the first 72 hours, even if somebody else acquired it, Hutzuchu gam kilomar shafilu yiske boacher lo yikne, to prevent the Yisramayim from doing this trick. The mafkir yochalachzabotokim, and therefore the mafkir can go retract during the first 72 hours because they definitely will retract during that period of time because they're scared to lose their field, and therefore anybody that does acquire it during that 72 hours doesn't really acquire it. So that's the way the Ran understands this. So now, back to the Bryce. Let's read it again. Tanya. Hamafkir sodeo. Reuven was mafkir's field. So the first 3 days, kosloshi yomim yochalachzabo, Reuven can retract even if somebody else acquired the field. However, mikan v'eilech, from this point and onwards, after the 72 hours, after the 3 days, en yochel achzibo, he can no longer retract. And the Ran adds, the bottom Ran, v'afilu lo zocha bo'adab, even if nobody else acquired it. Lo kol hemenu lachzibo, at this point in time, he can't retract. Mishum de la'achar shlosha yomim, suleko lemechash l'ramoim, because at this point in time, we just assume he's not a Ramai, because no Ramai would allow it to go 72 hours without taking it back. The people that would do this in cheating in their Ramos, they would never wait that long because they'd be terrified that the field would really be taken by somebody else. So if the guy really lets it go for 3 full days without anybody taking it in the stomach, he really was mafkrit, and therefore he can't retract because it's really hefkrit. Now he could acquire it theoretically by going and making a kinyan on the field, but he can't just say, I retract my hefker. Now we turn to Memdalet Amdalet for the continuation of this brisa, this tosefta. If the person said, Omar, Tehei Sadezum, Uvkeres Leom Echot, L'Shabbos Achas, L'Chodesh Echot, L'Shona Achas, L'Shavua Achas. If the person says, I want this to be Hefker for a certain period of time, a day, a week, Shabbos means a week, L'Chodesh, that's a month, L'Shona, a year, L'Shavua, means a sabbatical, 7 years, L'Shavua Achas. So then, it depends, was somebody Zochit or not? So until Ad Shelo Zocha Bo, until somebody actually acquires it, Bein Hu Bein Acher, whether it's himself or somebody else, Yochel Achzer Bo, then he is allowed to go and still say, I retract my hefker. However, Misha Zocha Bo, but if somebody else acquired this field, so Bein Hu, Bein Acher, whether it was himself or someone else, in Yochel Achzer Bo, he can't retract his making the field hefker originally. Now, why is this a problem, this brisa? It seems the Reisha is the opinion of the Rabbanon, Reisha Rabbanon, because the Mishnah had stated the opinion of the Rabbanon that when Reuven put down the food on the rock, Shimon was allowed to take it. That implied that Reuven couldn't retract. Oh, so too over here. After 3 days, he cannot retract. So the Reisha seems to be the opinion of the Rabbanon. After 3 days, you can't retract. And the Seifa, which is saying over here that it depends. If somebody acquired it, then you can't retract. But if nobody acquired it, then you can retract. So then, until Achelo Zochabo, Beinu Ben Acher, Yochel Achzerbo, that seems to be, say for Reb Yossi, that it still belongs to the owner, the original owner, the Reuven in our Mishnah, or in this case, the one who made the field Hefker. So again, Reisha seems to be Rabbanon, the Sefer Reb Yossi. How could that be? Say Brisa, we don't want to ascribe the Reisha and Sefer to different people without it being specifically stating so. So Ula gives us an answer. Omar, Ula says, no, the Sefer Nami Rabbani, the Sefer and the Reisha, but the Sefer also is the opinion of the Rabbanon. Mor says, how could that be? Mor says, if that were true, Ihachi, Amai Achelo Zochabo, Beinu Ben Acher, Yochel Azebo, then it should be like the Chachamim, that you can't retract it. So how can the Sefer be like the Chachamim, which says that you can retract it? So Ula says, no. Shiny Shana Bishavua, when he said over here it should be Hefker for a Yomecho, the Shabbos Achas, the Chodesh Echol, the Shana Achas, the Shavua Achas, all of these are time specific. So therefore, Shiny Shana Bishavua, the Loshlichi, it's very unusual for a person to say, I'm making my field Hefker for a year, I'm making my field Hefker for 7 years. So that's a Dover Shaloshriach. And as the Rosh says in the Ramask, the Shiny Hefker, Lizman, the Loshriach, Hilkach, have a Hefker Gorua, it's not a real Hefker. Kivan, Shaloh Hivkiro Leolim. He wasn't making it happen forever. And therefore, in this situation, Modu Rabbanon Baha, Shaloh Gomer B'dayito Shia Hefker, actually yiskubu adam. And in this situation, even the Chachamim Mamoda that it's not really hefker. And therefore, until somebody else actually acquires it, even the Rabbanan Mamoda that it still belongs to him. He's hopeful. He's hopeful that nobody will come and acquire it during that period of time. And it will come back to him. So therefore, this entire Braisa, Ula says, is really the opinion of the Chachamim and is not Reisha Rabbanan and Sefer Rav Yossi. No, it's all the Rabbanan. That's how Ula solves the problem. Now, we're still in the middle of the sugya. That was Ula's teretz. Tomorrow we'll give Reish Lakish's teretz. But this is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.